Not long-winded. I've asked each of us to have a time limit. Pastor Scott told me if we meet the time limit, it'll be a miracle and he'll hear about it all the way over in Israel. But there's a reason. There's a reason for this is because I'm going to share first, and then Joanne's going to share, and then Jeremy's going to share. I think Pastor Scott was referring to the miracle about Jeremy. But that's a... Recently, the Lord ministered to me about sharing with others. And he gave me three words. Yeah. Thank you, Eric. Give me three words, and we're going to talk about those words. Now, there's no way in the allotted time that we can cover all of the scriptures that all three of us have. So what we're going to do is Eric and Ryan, or Brian, have a sheet of paper with all the scriptures that would have been covered had we each had an hour each. And if you'd like a copy of that, slip your hand up and they will give it to you. Okay? Don't worry, we're not just trying to teach on all this today. But we may pull one or two or three or whatever scriptures from this, but this will give you just some references you can study later just for your review. Okay? Hallelujah. God is good. So there are three words we're going to look at today: yield, listen, and obey. And this is the three words that God gave me. And I thought I didn't know if I was supposed to share on all three or not. But then the more I prayed about it and spoke with Joanne, this is the way the Lord plotted this out. I'm going to share on yield, Joanne's going to share on listen, and Jeremy's going to share on obey. And the idea or the thinking behind this is there is a larger eternal purpose for you in your life and me in my life than just getting up every morning, going to school, going to work, going through the regular routines of our day, which we know we need to do. There's a larger eternal purpose, and I don't want us to miss it. I don't want us to miss what God really has for you and I to do here. Jesus said, go into all the world. Go. And it's great that we can hear from God or love on each other here. But as Pastor Scott said, out the double doors, or as I say, out the four walls, what does God want you to do out there? Not only in here, but what does he want you to do out there? And the first word we're going to talk about is yield. Now, I don't know if you like roundabouts or not when you're driving, but there's not just one, there's a double, I guess you could call it, roundabout at Columbus. Anybody familiar with that? Now, hands down, anybody ever had fun driving through there? A few challenges, yes. Now, when I take my Miata through there, it is fun. I get to take curves. But when I'm driving through there, I have to be very aware of what's going on. And God wants you and I to learn to yield to him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your spirit within us, your hand on us. We thank you for revelation knowledge to flow far beyond the words that we speak today into the hearts and lives of these your people. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Jesus said, not my will, but your will, God. Not my will, but your will, God. Basically, Jesus was surrendering his will to the Father's will. And every day, this is something I want to program within my thinking, that I want to just surrender to whatever God wants. You know, Bert had his own ideas of what he wanted. I wanted to be a folk musician, a rock musician, a bassist. I wanted to play bass. I had all these things that I wanted to do. And then when I became a Christian, or became spirit-filled, I wanted to play in a Christian rock band. And I would watch Petra and old rock and roll Christian bands like that, and I would watch the bass player and come off from out of the concert thinking, well, I can do that. I can do that. I know I can do that. And I thought, well, maybe God's calling me to do that. How many of you know you can't tell God what He's calling you to do? So it became a huge disappointment in my life when the Lord ministered to me that that was not the route He wanted me to go. And for years, off and on, I struggled with that. Sometimes still, I'll pick up a bass and say, you know, I could have. But it would have been, Bert could have, I could have. What does God want for my life? What does God want for your life? Well, we're the sons and daughters of God, then we should be able to hear from God. The Word says that we should, that we can. So I need to learn to surrender or and yield. I know there are two different words. I looked up the original language and the English versions of it and all that, definitions of it. But I came down to what does it mean to me? For me, surrendering is I surrender my life. I give up. I give up my will. I give up my way. And I come to a place where I say, God, You're my life. A lot of people use the term, God is in control. Well, my response to that is, if God is in control, let Him be. Let Him be. That's what I want to do. I want to let Him be in control. So Proverbs chapter 3 is verses 5 and 6, Pam, I believe I gave you that scripture, has come to me so much in the last month. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge or submit or obey, different translations say, Him, and He will directly bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass. The Amplified says, lean on, trust in, and rely confidently in the Lord with all your heart and your mind, and do not rely on your own understanding or your own insight. In all your ways, look at this, know, recognize, and acknowledge Him, and He'll direct and make straight and plain your paths. In all your ways, I like to say it this way, submit to Him. I want you to look at the person beside you and say this. Yahweh, it's your way. Do it again. Yahweh, it's your way. No, you can't say it your, you have to say yo. It's your way. I want His way. Amen. One person wrote this, I don't know where I read it. The degree of the Holy Spirit's power within us, the degree of the Holy Spirit's power within us will be equal to our surrender. So, surrender means to yield ownership or your own rights or your own way. So, I wonder what yield meant. I found this acronym for yield. Y-I-E-L-D. Yes in every little detail. I like that. Yield. Yes in every little detail. The word yield can also mean, is translated present or give. Present yourself to God. Give yourself to God. Give your members to God, your body to God. Present yourself as a living sacrifice. Yield it to God. I want to yield my body as instruments of righteousness. And that's what you and I should do as we walk every day in our life, is we're yielding what God wants. Instruments of righteousness, tools of righteousness. One translation says weapons of righteousness. As we go into warfare, if we walk into this world, you're in spiritual warfare. Believe it or not, you're in spiritual warfare when you get up in the morning, when you're sleeping at night, when you wake up, you are in warfare. But when your feet hit the ground, hit the floor, the devil should be trembling. Amen? Look at the person beside you and ask him, are you making headlines in hell? Oh no, he's up again. She's up again. That prayer warrior is up. Somebody's going to speak the word at me. Oh no. Hallelujah. So, I'm going to the roundabouts in Columbus. And I start counting the yield signs there. There are at least 6 yield signs, 5 or 6 or maybe 7. There's one I didn't even know about. And I realize that I drive around these roundabouts and I don't think about those yield signs. I know that I'm supposed to yield, but I've come to it so often, it just, you know, I'm automatic. Just not aware. It's automatic. It's just there. It's like this morning. I got in the shower, and all of a sudden the water is cold. It's not hot. And we just moved a few months ago, and there's this one handle that adjusts the hot and cold water. And I realized, you know, my wife had actually, you know, she just blessed me. She cleaned my bathroom and had just cleaned the shower. And I looked at it. I looked at the handle and I thought, what's wrong with this? Oh, no, the water heater must be out. That was my first thought. The water heater's gone, you know. Oh, I got that out of my head. I thought, how am I going to take a shower? Well, wait a minute. This doesn't make sense. The water in the sink was hot. Why is it this hot? So I'm trying to figure out, and I thought of Dick Locke. You know, Dick would try to break down H2O, hydrogen, oxygen. He would do, what's causing this? And, you know, I love Dick Locke. I don't think that way. I'm thinking, water heater, oh no. And I'm thinking, and I'm turning it, and nothing's working right. Something's wrong. Well, guess what? Bert had the handle the wrong way. Because Joanne had cleaned the shower and had left the handle differently than I did, but I wasn't aware of it. It was automatic that I turned the water on and the handle's supposed to be the correct way because it's a separate way to turn on. It was just automatic. I wasn't aware of the situation. And every day when you and I get up in the morning, we need to be aware of what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us. What is He trying to minister to you about your personal life? And what is He trying to minister to you about someone else's life? You know, I thought immediately this morning of the hymn, Take the Name of Jesus With You. But you know what the second line of that is? Child of sorrow and of woe. I am not a child of sorrow and of woe. Now, I may have experienced that. I'm sure the hymn writer, she probably meant that. But the whole hymn is about dealing with thoughts of yourself and what you're dealing with. But for me, this morning, I applied it differently. I looked up the word woe and I looked up the word sorrow. They basically mean the same thing. And the antonym of those is joy and happiness. So I'm taking the name of Jesus with me outside with joy and happiness. Amen? Yeah. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm learning about yielding. I've got to yield to two other speakers in just a moment. I didn't notice the change that had happened to the shower handle, but I did notice the results. I want to be aware of the results. The other day, I may have told this story, I was going to the bike shop down in Bowling Springs, and I'm driving down there, and right in my spirit, right on the inside, I heard these words, go to McDonald's. I didn't want to go to McDonald's. That was not where I wanted to go. But right on the inside, the Holy Spirit within my spirit rose up within me and spoke those words. So I went down, turned around, came back, went in to McDonald's, and as soon as I drove up in there, there was a guy with a ball cap standing, leaning against the wall, smoking a cigarette. And I was immediately drawn to him. And I questioned, God, do you want me to go witness to him? Do you want me to go speak to him, pray for him? What do you want me to do? Nothing was silent. I said, okay, I'm not doing anything until you tell me what to do. So I went in. I went to the restroom. And as I'm coming out of the restroom, guess who walks in the restroom? That guy. And I thought, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Nothing. Silence. I'm trying to learn to yield to God in all my ways. In little things now, just in little things, and I walk outside and stop and say, I'm going to my car. God, what did you want? What was this about? These words just floated up within me. Pray for him. Someone else is praying for him. Join your faith with theirs. That's all I was asked to do. Part of me was relieved. Some of you are true evangelists. You're like, you know, grab them and such, you know. But that's not the way God uses. That's not the way God uses you. But maybe God can start using you today when you walk out of this place and you pray for people. You just pray. And all of a sudden I saw a mother or a grandmother, someone on their knees praying for that young man. And I realized God was using me outside of myself. All I had to do was yield. I want to close with this. Believe it, this is the fastest I've ever taught. Acts chapter 16. Paul and his group, this is what's happening. This is so cool. I know you've seen this before, but maybe you haven't in this way. From the Message. They went to Phrygia and then on to the region of Galatia. Their plan was to turn west into Asia province. But the Holy Spirit blocked that route. Did you see that? Blocked it. So they went on to Mysia, and then, if I'm slaughtering the names, I'm sorry. I'm from Gaphney, it's okay. They went to Mysia and tried to go north to Bithynia. But the Spirit of Jesus, just hold it, Pam, the Spirit of Jesus wouldn't let them go there either. They were sensitive to what God was doing. They were sensitive to yield, to be aware. To me, I want to pause right here and say this. To me, the words came to me about yielding. For me, is to pause, be aware of my surroundings. Be aware of my surroundings. And look and see what the instructions are. Because that's when I was going around this yield, around this roundabout with these yield signs. Not all of them pertained to me, only one pertained to me, or when I got off coming down 26, two of them did on the same place. Yield. And I saw people when I was going around the roundabout later in the week who weren't yielding and ran right in front of me two times in the same day. They weren't aware of their surroundings. They weren't pausing. They weren't listening or looking for instructions, looking for other obstacles. So the Holy Spirit wouldn't let them go. He blocked them. Then the Spirit of Jesus wouldn't let them go there either. Next verse. Proceeding on through Mysia, they went down to the seaport Troas. Go ahead. That night, I love this scripture. This has ministered to me for so many years. Paul had a dream. Anybody been having dreams lately? Am I the only one? Raise your hand if you've been having dreams lately. I mean, I've been having dreams. The Bible says your old men, the young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. I must be really old because I'm having a lot of them. And I think I shared this with maybe before, but my wife interprets dreams, and so I record them every morning that I have them, and it's just incredible what God's showing us. That night, Paul had a dream. A Macedonian stood on the far shore and called over the sea, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." The dream gave Paul his map. Whether it's a dream, whether it's an angel, whether it's the voice of the human spirit, whether it's your inward witness that you have, yield to it. Listen, there are many voices, but yield to the one on the inside. Yield to the one that you know is of God. Then the dream gave Paul his map. We went to work at once, immediately, getting things ready to cross over to Macedonia. Why? Because Paul had the map. He knew which way he was going. All the pieces had come together. Maybe you're in your life right now and you're wondering why this seems so disheveled and broken. But what about the people outside of your life? Your family? What about the guy on the street? What about the kid at McDonald's smoking a cigarette leaning up against the wall? What about the person in your school? What about the person where you're employed? What about the person you're working for? What about the contractor who's working on your house? What about everybody you come in contact with? Many people. All of them, more than likely, have some sort of need. Maybe God wants you to pray for them. And yes, it's wonderful when the ambulance goes by that you're there to pray for that ambulance and the person in that ambulance. But start somewhere. Start there. Start there if you have to. But then be sensitive and yield to what God is telling you to do. If you're in this church and God gives you a word of knowledge, it goes on to say, we knew now for sure that God had called us to preach the good news to the Europeans. Listen. If you're in this church and you know for sure that God is speaking to you and He's asking you to do something, do it. Some of you have been hesitant to be used in the spiritual gifts in here. Allow yourself. Yield to it. You know, Scott and different people talk about, well, you feel your heart racing, you feel something, you're wondering, it's anticipation. Different ways people receive different ways. But listen to your spirit. Be quiet and listen on the inside. Follow, obey. You know, the Bible says that the spiritual gifts are used as the Spirit wills. But here's what I wrote this morning. The Spirit is willing. Are you? Are you willing to yield to what God wants? Now, we're going to do this. Joanne's going to come. Then Jeremy's going to come. I'm not a pastor, but I do know how to use a shepherd's crook. Okay? They're going to share. Come on, Joe. They're going to share. Joanne's going to share on a word. Jeremy's going to share on a word. And then we're going to put it into practice for just a few minutes. We're going to listen. We're going to yield. We're going to listen. We're going to obey what God says right here among us. And then, after you're released today, start today and put this into practice this week. When you come back next Sunday, let's share what God has ministered to us and how He used us.
Okay. Everybody stand up for a minute. Child psychologists say that your attention span is 1 minute for every year of age, and I think that stops at about 10. And so you can sit back down. I heard somebody say one time that the ears can only handle what the backside can, and so it's good to move around sometimes. I want to talk about listening. God wants you to hear His voice. He's always speaking. How many of you know that? God has a lot to say. I mean, in fact, the Word says all the things, that the books couldn't hold it. God's always speaking, and He's always expanding. He just wants us to listen. And I don't have any scriptures to go up because I want to go through pretty quick. But in John 10, 4 through 5, and verses 27 and 28, you read the phrase, "My sheep hear My voice." Hear there means to give audience to. When you pay money to go to a play or a musical or a movie or whatever, you're focused on what's there because you invested something. You want to get everything you can out of what is being played. Well, God wants you to give audience to His voice and what He's saying. He wants you focused. And the people that you spend the most time with are the people that you recognize their voice. I can pick up the phone, and with caller ID, you know who it is. But with God, you can't cheat with caller ID. When you pick up that phone, you hear the person on the other end of the line, and without seeing their face, you know who it is because you spent time with them and you recognize them. And God wants you to be that way. And the best, I'm a visual person. Some people are auditory learners, but I'm a visual learner, so I have to see to remember. And the best YouTube video to illustrate this, if you guys like videos and illustrations, it's called "My Sheep Hear My Voice, Bible Truth Proven." It's a 2-minute video. It's of a shepherd who takes 3 teenagers out. Has anybody seen it? Okay, it'd be worth your time to invest 2 minutes. It is so cool. This shepherd brings 3 teenagers out, and he tells them what to say. It's what he always says to his sheep. And you've got these sheep out in the field, and they're just grazing. Their heads are down. They're just so peaceful. Well, this teenage girl comes up, and she says the words that he says. The sheep don't pay a bit of attention. Then a young man with a deeper voice says the exact same words. They don't even flinch. They're just grazing. And then he has another girl. Well, then the shepherd comes, and he doesn't speak loudly, but he says those words. And you watch the sheep, and their ears go all the way across the pasture. And then they start running toward him. And I know the reason they do that is they know he's going to feed them. And so they come running, and of course, in the video, it shows him feeding them. Now, I just told you what the video is, but to see it yourself, it's like they know the voice of their shepherd, and they know he's going to feed them and care for them, so they're right with him. So I just love that. Well, there is another scripture passage, Hebrews 3, verses 7 through 9 and 15 through 16. He says, "If you hear my voice, don't harden your hearts." You can hear God's voice, but you can shut down. You've heard the phrase where you sear your conscience. You can shut down on God so much that you don't hear Him anymore. And it's not that He's not speaking, it's that you're dull of hearing. Don't harden your hearts. The Message says, turn a deaf ear. Now, when someone's talking to you and they're very wordy, and I'm going to try not to be today, do you hear blah, blah, blah? Or do you hear specific words that they're speaking to your heart? They don't want you to hear blah, blah, blah. And my husband has a way that he knows if I'm paying attention to him or not. When he's talking, if you get him on the subject of cars or boats, He could go on and on and on. But in while he's talking to me, he'll say, Smokey the Bear in the Woods. And if I hear him say Smokey the Bear in the Woods, I know he thinks I'm not paying attention to him. And so you might want to try that, guys or girls, to see if your significant other is paying attention. But I sub for a preschool up in Hendersonville, and it's so cool when we're out on the playground and all the classes are all out there at the same time. The teacher will say, okay, my class, and those kids instinctively know that teacher's voice, and they know the four-year-olds are lining up here, the three-year-olds here. And it's just really cool to watch that, you know, she doesn't have to go out and jerk each one of them off the playground. They know their teacher's voice. We know our teacher's voice. And in 1 Kings 19, 11 through 13, Elijah, this was after the when the prophets of Baal were on Mount Carmel, and the miraculous where he had poured buckets of water on the offering and the fire came out of heaven and burned it all up and licked all the water up out of the trough. It was so neat. What a supernatural, exciting thing. Well, right after that, Elijah gets really depressed. And he wants to die, and he thinks he's the only person that's serving God anymore. And God just jerked him up and said, no, that's not true. I have people all over. And God did something very supernatural to make the illustration of how he could hear his voice and all of that. He had him in a cave, and he had this violent wind like a hurricane come by. But God's voice was not in the wind. Then he had an earthquake where the ground was shaking, and God's voice wasn't there either. And then he had this fire, and I think about the fires, the wildfires out west that we've seen, and God's voice was not there. Then it was a still, small voice. And the only way that you're going to hear God's voice is you've got to get the wind and the fire and the earth, I think of earth, wind, and fire, earth, the wind, and the fire out of the way and turn down everything. And there are opportunities for you. You say, I don't have time to hear God's voice. Well, are you ever stuck in traffic? Are you ever in the shower? Are you ever brushing your teeth? Are you ever in line waiting at Walmart or the grocery store? Are you ever in a waiting room? You have a choice. You can pick up a magazine or you can just sit and look around you and say, okay, God, what are you speaking to me about these people in this room or these people in these cars passing me or these people in line? You know, just listen. And briefly, I'll tell you what to listen for. One is a word of knowledge. How many of you have ever been used in a word of knowledge? I know a bunch of you have. How many of you would like to be? You can't. You just listen, and God will speak. All he wants you to do is say, God, use me in a word of knowledge. Give me a word of knowledge for somebody around me. And he will do that. A word of knowledge is knowledge given by the Holy Spirit to our spirit that is not discerned with the five physical senses. In other words, you're not going to pick up on it in the natural by the way somebody looks or sounds or whatever. But God will tell you something about that person or about a situation that's supernatural, and then he'll tell you what to do about it. In Matthew 21, 1 through 3, Jesus demonstrated this. He told two of his disciples, he said, I want you to go, and I want you to find a donkey and a colt in a specific village. And if the man says anything, tell him the Lord needs them, and the man will send them. Okay, can you imagine going to this parking lot or a car lot or whatever, and you see this nice Cadillac and or a Lexus or whatever, and you just start to take off with it. And the guy says, well, what are you doing? And they say, well, the Lord has need of it. Well, That would be a tough thing to do. But Jesus said the man will, if anybody says anything, the man will send them. So he kind of like, whew, like when he told him when the storm came up, he said, go to the other side. So Jesus told them that they would get to the other side if they read between the lines, because he told them to. So this man was going to send it, and of course he did. And I always thought, you know, God, why did you have a donkey and a colt? And as I was reading, they put their clothes on the colt. And I thought, a donkey doesn't have a trunk. So where are they going to put all their stuff? And so that's why they had a colt and a donkey, and that answered that question. Okay. Number two, listen for an obvious situation. In Matthew 8, 14 and 15, Jesus went into Peter's house, and Peter's mother-in-law had a fever. Well, they could have their little prayer meeting and leave Peter's mother-in-law in there suffering with the fever, or they could answer the obvious thing and listen with their eyes. It's very obvious that she needed prayer. So Jesus touched her, the fever left, and she got up and served them. And I'm sure Peter's wife was very glad, because she would have had to fix the meal all by herself for all these guys coming in. So it was great to have Peter's mother-in-law in there to help her. Number three, an inward vision or a witness. I know Aaron sees, how many of you have ever seen a vision? Open or closed, yeah. Or when you're in that twilight state, sometimes waking up, God will show you a vision. Okay, this is like an inward vision or witness where you just actually see something or you see somebody, and Jesus or the Holy Spirit will speak through you and say such and such. In John 5:14, Jesus found the man from the pool that he had healed, and he said, "Go and sin no more, lest something worse come on you." Jesus went and found the man that he had just healed, because I'm sure Jesus had a vision of, if I don't go and tell him this, something worse could come on him. So Jesus went back to the synagogue until he found that particular man, for him to care that much to say, "Go and sin no more," because it was such a quick thing, and then he left. So that was just such a blessing to me that Jesus cared so much about him. Number four is physical symptoms on your body. Has anybody ever had physical symptoms and you knew they weren't yours? I mean, that's God speaking to you. Okay. I always said, what's the scripture for that? Hebrews 4:15 and 16 says, "He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities." Feeling there means to experience pain of the same kind through compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion. And 1 John 4:17 says, "As he is, so are we in this world." So if he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, then there are times when we'll be touched with the feeling of someone else's infirmities. And then when you speak that out, someone can say, "Well, God cared enough about me to give you those symptoms temporarily so that I could get relief." So yield to that. And once you share it and you have opportunity to pray for that person, those symptoms will leave. And then finally, five, the Lord's angel. In Acts 8:26 and 29, the Lord's angel spoke to Philip to go down to the road between Jerusalem and Gaza. And then it said, then the Spirit spoke to him and said, "There's a chariot there. I want you to hook up with this chariot because there's a guy there that needs you." And you know, he witnessed to the eunuch, and he ended up baptizing. And then it says that Philip was taken up and ended up in another place. So something really supernatural happened because Philip listened to an angel. And then he listened to the Spirit of God. It was like a two-stage situation. So there are lots of ways that you can listen. And I just want to leave you with this before I pass the baton to Jeremy. Jeremy gave me a Bible called the Honey Word Bible, and it's a children's Bible, but it is so awesome for people who are visual. In each chapter, they give you a picture and a little rhyming phrase. And the picture was an ear with a steering wheel in it. And what if you can picture that, okay? It's not one of those things you clean your ears out with, but it was actually a steering wheel. And it said, "Jesus steers through listening ears." And I thought, whoa, that is, thank you, Jeremy. I love that Bible. I just love it. So I know I went over, sorry.
No. Okay. Wait right here, because Jeremy's going to share too, and we're all going over a little bit. That's okay. Give me an example of, I mean, I know the weird part of this is when you experience some sort of symptom and you know it's not yours. That's a weird thing. And she gave us a couple of scriptures that helped me, because I would always look at her and say, "Where's that in the Word? Where's that in the Word?" one night about 3 o'clock or so in the morning, when a couple of years ago, I woke up with a tremendous headache, and yet in some weird way, I knew it wasn't mine, so I just started interceding for somebody else. The next morning, and it left. Next morning, Marianne Wozni called us and said, at the same time, she was experiencing a migraine, and it left. Now, just being sensitive to the Spirit of God like that is, I know there's going to be some weird stuff that happens, but if you just be open, God will lead you. But you tell me an example of how God has led you through a word of knowledge or one of the ways you shared that you prayed for someone.
Okay. Well, last week, Bert and I were meeting at a fast food place, and I was going to go by the ATM and get some cash after we ate because we were kind of pressed for time. And it was like on the inside, it was like, no, get some cash now, because I had no cash in my purse. And so I did that, and I was late meeting him, but it wasn't that late. And as I was getting out of the car, he said, there's a young man in there, and he has a need. And I want you to give him the specific amount of money, and I want you to tell him that Jesus knows he has that need. And so he said, you know, pull him over to the side so there's nobody else sees it. And so I went in, and there was a young man behind the counter. And so when we placed our order and paid for our order, Bert went to get a drink, and there was nobody behind me. And so I pulled him over to the side, and I told him what God told me to tell him. And so then I walked, and we sat down to eat.
A few minutes later, I'm sitting there, and this guy comes over and hugs my wife.
He's a young guy. I'm old enough to be his grandma.
I know, but I'm thinking, who are you, and why are you hugging my wife?
Okay. And he proceeds to look straight in my eyes, and he said, my mother is a Christian, and she prays every morning, and she will not come out of her bedroom until she has heard from God. And he said, I had a great job. I was paid a lot of money, and they fired us all and went to Mexico. And he said, I'm working fast food. And he said, I'm getting more and more behind in my bills. And I was going to go and get a car title loan, and my car broke. And he said, I didn't have the money. I can fix the car myself, but I didn't have the money to make the repairs, and this will do that. And so it was like, I wanted to cry, and he was just so sweet, and it just blessed me so much that God loved him that much and cared. And so we also prayed that God would open a door for him to have a better paying job so that he wouldn't have to go get that loan, and he wouldn't have to stay where he was.
And God told you to double the amount.
Yeah. It was a specific amount, and then when I got into the restaurant, he said to double that, so I did.
Amen. Praise God. So just listen.
That's your big obey.
That's right. Everybody say yield. Listen. Obey.
I'm really honored to be able to do this, because in the beginning, it had to be obedience from the get-go, because it was shared 10 minutes, and I went, oh, man, 10 minutes. Then I had to yield to that obeying right away. So I love you guys, and that's why I want to share this with you, okay? Because if our posture is not from love, like Galatians 2:20 says, is that it is no longer I who live, right? That I have died with Messiah. I have died with Christ. He has been crucified so that way I can live, because otherwise I was on a pathway towards death. I was the curse that he became a curse for so that way I could become a blessing. So if none of what we do is rooted and grounded in love, then it's all a big fat zero. If your motivation inside of anybody's life is anything but the love of the Messiah, the love of Jesus, it's a big fat zero. We lost before we even went out to play. And I'm saying that before I even open my mouth, because it's yielded only to speak what it is that it hears and to be able to see what he says to see and go where he says to go. And that's it. Because if we're going to say that it is no longer I that live, but yet he that lives inside me, Well, what does it look like? And that's what I always ask when I hear these words, because I think some of you are asking, what does that look like? So God showed me, and I've got about 10 minutes to share something that I had 5 extra minutes. Hallelujah. I wanted to walk through what it looks like. And when Bert first contacted me, I said, whoa, obedience. I said, you know what? With obedience, I says, that calls upon hearing. That calls upon being motivated by love. And in order to be able to hear and be motivated, we have to be postured in position to be able to receive. And the Lord gave me this, that you have to be prepared to hear. You have to be able to put yourself in a position to see. And then you have to be in a posture to be able to receive, so I can be filled up, so then I can go overflow and be get poured out, because I'm always going to get filled up again if this whole process is happening. So I've spent a lot of time with Abraham. So in 10 minutes, we're going to go from Genesis 1 to Galatians 3. Hallelujah. That's what the miracle is, okay? So Abraham was Abram in the beginning, and in Genesis 1 through 11 speaks the whole thing, okay? So there's the fall of Adam and Eve. It's the first blood sacrifice. There's the promise of the redemption to come. There's the seed of the woman. It's all prophetic. The flood, the scattering of the human race, the separation of people and languages. It's a big, huge part of the whole show, that God's story comes out with a big old burst, okay? So Abraham is in the line, in the lineage, if you will, of Shem. So the whole earth is flooded, and then Abraham is. And so I'm just going to put it to you like this. Abraham was positioned to be able to hear, because he was prepared to be able to hear by the way that he was raised from this God story. Does that make any sense? He was positioned in a way by how he was brought up. Think about that for one second. So Abraham was set apart by an ability to be able to hear God, which is where it starts. In Genesis chapter 12. So in Genesis chapter 12, the word says, then Adonai said to Abraham, get going out from your land and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. My heart's desire is to make you into a great nation and to bless you. My desire is to bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you. You will be holy and you'll be set apart. It's miraculous, okay? And he obeyed, because the word in Hebrew says, lech lecha. It means go forth. This is a tremendous picture of what it means to obey. Why? Because it's not as simple as the things we're talking about when we say, God told me to give that guy $40. We're going to wrap back around to that and make sense of what that looks like. So Abraham, in this big, tremendous way, he obeys and he picks up everything and he walks away from everything. He was walking away from inheritance. He was walking away from comfort. He was walking away from the very thing that prepared him to be able to leave. Like, seriously, right? Think about that. He was prepared to get up and go and leave. And that's a big chunk of obedience right then and there. And how I want to talk so much more about everything in chapter 12 and chapter 14 and chapter 15 and literally I want to talk about it all. But we're not going to do that, okay? Because what God does is he calls Abram. He changes his name to Abraham. We'll just go ahead and go right through chapter 17. We have the covenant being established, which is an eternal establishment. It's eternal covenant of both people and land, in which they would be a light to all nations for all times. And just as it said, salvation will come through the Jews. It did, and it will, and it always will be. Hallelujah. Because as we go forth into Galatians 3, you're going to see. But once we get to Genesis 18, then if that wasn't enough, Abraham is hearing from God. God goes ahead and comes down and has lunch with him, okay? So in Genesis 18, we see that Abraham gets to have lunch with Jesus, okay? Then we're going to fast forward, because if that's not all good enough, once we get to the part where I really want to open up, and that's in Genesis 22, and this is so huge. And I'm going to repent for everybody who's ever preached these things is just a story. as something that we remember, and it's just what is. But yet, guess what? The only way that we're going to be able to be prepared to be able to hear and postured to be able to receive is if we're rooted and grounded in the truth. By love, in faith. Okay? Now in Genesis 22, now I'm going to use the word story, but this is the account of where God calls. And now, what it says in the beginning of 22, it says, now, it was after all these things, and these were some amazing things that happened, because mind you, why I want to talk so much about Abraham is because he saw so many miraculous things. I mean, seriously, how much sense did it make to him to get a cow, a goat, a bird, a dove, or whatever it be, cut them in half, and then see this fire come through them, and then cut a covenant, and God tell him that, guess what? The covenant that I'm going to call you into, I'm going to keep, and I'm going to prove it to you. You're never going to be the same after you see that thing. So when he gets to Genesis 22, he says, now after all these things that God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, God tested Abraham. We are always confusing God with the tempter, because God brings forth the test. The enemy is the one that brings the tempting, okay? Let's clear that out right away. What does Abraham say when God calls to him? Hinani. Doesn't mean anything to most anybody. He says, here I am. Hinani. Here I am, God. Because he's been on this journey with God, and God is using him to be established, as to be set up for the father of all nations for all time. And he calls him, and he says, Abraham, and he says, here I am, excited as can be, because you know what? If we've done some amazing things up till this point, this has got to be good. What do you want, God? And I'm going to paraphrase, because now we're going to run out of time. I want you to take your only son, the son that you love, the son that if we backed up and had time to camp on a little bit, the son that came through promise that I gave you my word because I spoke to you again, will be the lineage in which will come all generations to come, which will be blessed. And this very son in which you love is the son that I'm calling you today to tell you to take him up to Mount Moriah, we're fast forwarding here, and sacrifice him. Really, God? Okay. You know what? None of us have been put in a place like that where we would have to have such an expression of pure, godly, I need the presence of you, God, now or nothing, obedience or else. But look at the prophetic picture that's being played out right in front of us. And this is why I just want to show you this. Because the donkey is there. The wood is there. The sacrifice is there. The atonement is there. The blessing is there. It's a full calling forth to be rooted and grounded in the promises of God through what? Through his presence. And that's why that's astonishing to me. And so for 3 months now, I've been in the book of Genesis overwhelmed with being rooted into this promise-keeping God who calls forth individuals, just like Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus felt like, hey, you know what? I'll go ahead and go visit this guy. I'll visit him at night. Because why? He didn't want very many people to see him. But what God left him with, what Jesus left him with, was that, you know what, Nicodemus, the only way that this is going to work for you is to be born again. Because guess what? He didn't meet him to try to persuade him, if you will. He confounded his mind with the power of his presence and the truth of his word that was from the very beginning. As he spoke, it became. Okay, and there's so much more I want to share about that. But if we skip forward to Galatians 3:14, that's where the culmination comes to it. Because you know what? It's not a story. It was rooted and grounded and established with God's love through a covenant of grace, not law, a covenant of grace, which then went forward to a covenant of greater grace. And here it is in Galatians 3:14. He says, Messiah liberated us from Torah's curse, having become a curse for us. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree in order that through Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that way we receive the promise of the Spirit through what? Through trusting faith. Bert asked me to share a testimony. And I'll tell you what, I'll share one testimony with you, okay? Because there's a lot of testimonies that I can get up and share. And I want to apologize to you guys because I haven't been getting up here and sharing. And that's just probably because of disobedience. But anyway, sometimes there's one, sometimes there's three, sometimes there's more. And it's every day and it's all day. And I'm going to tell you why. The reason is in John chapter 15. John chapter 14 and John chapter 15. I'm not my own. I have been bought with a price. And my morning starts with, I'm here, I'm alive, how will you spend me? And otherwise, I'm going to be a counterfeit to what God had to put his son on the cross for, because this is not a special gifting. This is not something set apart. This could be by a lot of people. They say, oh, it's new, it's nice, it's cute, but it'll die off. No, it won't. Because just like Paul was saying in the Galatians, how can you, if you've started this thing with the Spirit, then now fall over into thinking that you can come into to deeds and or just coldness, right? So here's a testimony. Because all the testimonies I do share, some of them, yeah, they're wow, they're awesome. And I can think about five that I want to share right now. But the one I do need to share walked into the room this morning, okay? What none of you know about this whole season from last May when I was born again and God came into my life and the Holy Spirit just made everything brand new is that it was not in the greatest setting of comfort, okay? Because everybody's looking for worldly comfort. Everybody's looking for it to be lined up and everything to be going well. But guess what? You position and you get robbed by the evil one to gain understanding. And let me tell you what that means. When you're looking for understanding and what the flesh and the mind can try to figure out before you're going to be obedient, that's wrong, because that's assumption. You're just assuming that, you know what, once I have this thing all figured out, and I'll go ahead and say it. It doesn't take faith to do that, okay? But I'm going to promise you something. During this whole time, in the very beginning, when it did happen, it was a preparation for what was to come. And God was calling me out. And on an airplane, I did say, Hinani. I said, here I am, God. And you know what? 1 month later, I'm driving to work. And the Holy Spirit enters into my car because I'm worshiping him. And it never stops at home after 45 minutes or 90 minutes. It keeps going another 45 until I get to work. And the Holy Spirit said, your daughter's going to have a baby and she's pregnant. This is what you guys need to know first, is that why that meant so much at that point in time is because of the words from hell that were spoken over that girl. The words from hell when I was hell's number one representer in hypocrisy and death and judgment and persecution and bring the pain and you better line up my way or else it's not good enough. When I had spoken these words of death over her, what I didn't tell you when I was on the airplane, that was a majority of the repentance of what God had dealt with. Every curse and every word that you spoke over Vienna's life, you repent of that right now. I'll take it away. I will wash it away and I will turn it around. So I'm driving in the car and the Holy Spirit says, she's pregnant. I'm born again for about a month. Hallelujah. This whole thing's flowing. It's new. It's good. It's all what it is. And I said, hallelujah. I said, amen. Glory to God. My wife doesn't know that I know. Vienna doesn't know that I know. 10 days later, everyone knows that I know. Because my wife's on the telephone with me and she says, you know, babe, there's some things we're going to have to go through. There's some things we're going to have to do first before. I was calling her to tell her about some guy got healed at Home Depot. His leg. And she was like, hallelujah, that's awesome. And guess what? There's something we're going to have to do. And I said, I know, honey. I said, I know. I said, I know that Vienna's pregnant. I said, hallelujah. I said, the Lord showed me. I said, and guess is what he told me? Be love. That's what he said. He said, be love. She doesn't need to be taught. I'll do that. She doesn't need to be redirected. I'll do that. She doesn't need anything from you but love. And I was given a mandate by God in that vehicle of reality. And he said this, last chance. Because you know what? As I grow this baby in her belly, her heart will grow back to me. Okay? Her heart will grow back to me. Guess what? That's still going. So it's easy when we say, you know what? I'll obey. Because guess what? I had an overflow this week on my paycheck, and I just gave it to you. I'm done. Woo, I'm done. It didn't take much obedience for that. I had an overflow in feeling good today because I drank so much coffee, and guess what? That word seemed pretty good, but it was fleshy, right? Doesn't take much obedience for that. Where it takes obedience is when God calls you and you say, I will, and you get up out of your comfort zone. You get up out of what makes you feel good. You get up out of what looks like it makes sense, and you lay your life down for another. Because if that's what our Messiah did for us, and we're doing anything less, I'm just going to say it. I am. I'm just saying. We're in the South. Change your name from calling yourself a Christian. Because Christian is reserved for the one who is willing to give their life in replace in a joint partnership with that sacrifice in which God has done in his great, great mercy for us. And there's three kids here that I'm going to call up, and this is how we're going to start ministry time, if that's okay. Ray or Ty, you must have two names. I heard you, Michael and Stephanie. Would you guys come up here for a second? This is just going to be a picture of what it looks like, guys. Come on, Ty.
Okay, so what we're going to do right now is, this is an example of what we're getting ready to do. We want you, Greg and Nancy, you're going to come up and play some music. We want you to listen in your heart. All right? Listen. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you, just like he's done right here. And be aware of what God is doing and the needs of people in this room. All right? So just listen right now and watch this.
So there's an overflow of things that are going on, and then the Lord shows me and tells me to go out to Birmingham, Alabama, Irondale, and actually be baptized. And it was baptized by a man who planted a seed way back and when and whatnot. But anyway, then there was a prophetic word that was spoken over me. And girl walks up and she goes, hallelujah. She goes, man, do I see the power of what God's going to do on you for the generations that are coming. She says, the generations that are coming and what God is going to use me for and whatnot. And man, has that lit up like light. Why? Because if we look around, even recently with the passing of Esther Daw and, there's just numerous things that are going on. My who is now my spiritual son, Just there's so much that are going on. And if we really think about what I just said about laying our lives down for another, and so you ask, what does that look like? What does that look like? It looks like it just consumes you with your ever presence of who you are in your daily business. If you think you're a businessman or whatever it is that you think your daily business is going about, and you set aside some time for God, but you don't give him your everything, then you know what? You're missing it, okay? If you think that you're doing a good job because you speak the things of God from time to time, but then you know what? There's times you miss it, and he's just supposed to understand, and sometimes we miss it big, and there's small little manipulations in whatever it is we do. I don't know what it is we do, but we just think he's supposed to understand. He didn't do that for us, okay? He didn't do that for us. He gave us his all. And when these guys walked in, this is what I saw. I saw that there was two people that have been called apart, set apart, and lifted up by the power and the glory of God who have been willing to walk in a pathway of God's presence. Because it hasn't been a pathway of perfection, has it? It hasn't been a pathway of easiness, has it? There's been a lot of persecution. There's been a lot of pain, and there's also been a lot of crying out of saying, how can we go on? Can't do this anymore. and then you take another one, hallelujah, and it keeps building and growing for the glory of God because you realize that you're rooted and grounded and called out, and you've been obedient to the call, and it doesn't look like what the world thinks it's supposed to look like. It looks way different. There's different colors, there's different nationalities, there's different personas and attitudes and all this sort of stuff, but that's God, and it's beautiful because that's who He is, and He doesn't want us walking because He says even a sinner can be nice to somebody who's nice to them. You know what I'm saying? So these guys, when they walked in, I saw it, and they started to ask for prayers and things. He spit right out. He said who his name was. I'm sorry about that. And she said, yo, man, I need some rest. And the Lord showed us words, and they got spoken of and whatnot. But this is why I brought you up, okay? Because you guys have to be able to be postured to be able to receive. You have to be able to be prepared to be able to hear. And you have to be positioned right to be able to see. And that's our job. Does that make sense to you? That's our job. Because what the world has done to our younger generation, and some of us have done it, and I did it for 13 years. I left her out there just like a little sheep inside of an open field for all the wolves to come upon. Eric, come up here, please. Phil, come up here. Ed, please come up here. Aaron, please come up here. Okay? Brian, Eric, come on. Come on, Dad, Mark, come on. And anyone else who feels like they will receive the call, circle around these guys. Just hold on to them. The rest of you want to come up, girls? If you want to, it's okay. Circle around them. Hold hands around them and lock your arms around these young ones. And anybody else who feels they want to come, because you know what? New wine is in the cluster. New wine is in the cluster of grapes. It's not from the individual grape because you won't get much. It takes, I don't know how many pounds of olive oil to come from, and then how many pounds of olives to make oil. But look at this now. Watch this. There's people sitting down right now, okay? Guess what? There is something going on inside the middle of that circle that you can't see because guess what? They're getting filled and surrounded by the people of God. By the people of God. And let me tell you what, that represents us. And their generation is getting ready to walk into a season and a time and an environment. And guess what, guys? It's not your grandma's church anymore. It's just not. It's not grandma's church anymore. These guys are facing things that the world is, it's pure debauchery, okay? So the only way that these guys are going to make it through is if we who are on the outside are willing to give our lives for them. Does that make any sense to anyone? Now I'm going to get fired up about this in a minute because guess what? This generation is being picked off like flies. They're dying. They're falling over into sinfulness. They're being led into sex trafficking. They're being deceived into falling away into the occult. There's so many things vying for them because the devil knows one thing. I've accomplished so much now, and if I can rid this generation of these guys because I can't let the torch and the fire come upon them, it's what Malachi 3 and 4 says, 4 in the English Bibles, 3 in the Hebrew, says that, you know what? If the generational transfer doesn't take place, then a curse will come upon the land. Not on our watch. So as we pray, whatever the Holy Spirit's going to do, let it do. I'm going to hand this back to Bert. But we're just going to pray for the glory of God that these called out ones right now, these are the men and women that have said, you know what, we'll be the Hinani. We'll be the ones that will say, here I am, God. Because we're not going to let this next generation, first of all, fall to the wayside of the ways of the devil. Okay? Secondly, reaching here to this generation, we're going to honor the pathways that were paved in truth, in spirit, and in love.
All right. You're in this circle. You listen in your heart, your spirit, as to what you're to pray and how you're to minister. Now, all of us out here, we're going to get quiet. Greg's going to sing Be Still. Is that right? Or sure. Just play. Either way, whatever you're on your heart. And let's just listen, not only for these in the circle, but for those around you right now. They may need a hug. They just may need an encouraging word. Not fellowship time. This is time to minister. What's God speaking? Yield,
Pride
listen,
overcome
and
the
obey,
world.
And go minister to somebody.
Let your heart not be troubled. You can count on me today. Those strong winds may blow, and the waves seem too high. I'll always be with you. Eternity is mine. Eternity is mine.
You may just get a word. You may have an image.
My daughter.
You may get a name of someone here.
I want to hold you in my arms today.
The Holy Spirit's speaking to you. Just go. Go and minister.
I was
be
there
free.
In the nighttime to wipe all those tears away. I know times get tough. Life seems to slip away. I'll always be with you. Eternity is mine. Eternity is mine.
Holy Spirit, just speak to your people right now. We're here to listen. We're here to obey. Yield to what you're sharing.